Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 20, entitled Of Christian Liberty and Liberty of Conscience. The liberty which Christ hath purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the guilt of sin, the condemning wrath of God, the curse of the moral law, and in their being delivered from this present evil world, bondage to Satan and dominion of sin, from the evil of afflictions, the sting of death, the victory of the grave, and everlasting damnation, as also in their free access to God, and in their yielding obedience unto him, not out of slavish fear, but a childlike love and willing mind. All which were common also to believers under the law, but under the New Testament, that is the New Covenant dispensation, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of the ceremonial law to which the Jewish church was subjected, and in greater boldness of access to the throne of grace, and in fuller communications of the free Spirit of God than believers under the law did ordinarily partake of. Well, that's a lengthy section and a rich section. Well, this magnificent statement of the Christian believer's liberty in Christ, you'll notice, begins by highlighting that Christian liberty is a purchased grace, the liberty which Christ hath purchased for believers under the gospel. This freedom that we now have was won for us at a great price by the sin-bearing and wrath-exhausting death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by that atoning sacrifice, he has purchased our liberty or our freedom. Well, what exactly is this liberty or freedom that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ enjoy through the sacrifice of their Saviour? Well, the section, you'll notice, highlights a number of things. First of all, it is freedom from the guilt of sin, the condemning wrath of God, and the curse of the moral law. Paul puts it memorably in Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. We are free from the guilt of sin, the condemning wrath of God, and the curse of the moral law, because our Lord Jesus Christ bore those judgments in our place and for our sake as our covenant head. And that's the underlying presupposition throughout this opening section. As our covenant head, Christ has substituted himself and been substituted by our Father to bear the guilt, the wrath, and the curse that was natively ours. He perfectly satisfied the holy demands of the law of God for all his people. And so Paul can write in Romans 8:34, "It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns?" But our freedom is more than that. It is also, you'll notice, freedom from this present evil world. That's Paul's words in Galatians 1:4, from bondage to Satan and from the dominion or prevailing power of sin. Through our union with Jesus Christ, we have been raised to live a new life. Sin's guilt has been dealt with, but more than that, sin's power has been altogether overthrown in our lives. Not that sin's presence has been removed, but that sin's prevailing power has been once for all overcome. So Paul could write in Romans 6:14 to the Roman Christians, "Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Satan, for the Christian believer, is a defeated enemy, yet a troublesome enemy, but a defeated enemy, because our captain, Jesus Christ, has overcome him and prevailed over him we are indeed more than conquerors. We may not feel more than conquerors at times, but we are, because of our union to Jesus Christ, more than conquerors. But this freedom and liberty is even richer. It is, you'll notice as the section goes on, deliverance from the evil of afflictions, the sting of death, the victory of the grave, and everlasting damnation. In short, we share in Christ's comprehensive triumph over sin and death and hell. What is true of our Lord Jesus Christ, remarkably, is true of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We share in his comprehensive triumph. We have nothing to fear from afflictions, because in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We have nothing to fear from death. We can say with Paul, O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? Christ has drawn the sting of death, for he has been raised from the dead, never to die again. And we have been freed from the fear of hell, because our Saviour Jesus Christ endured the hell that our sin deserved. And in Augustus Toplady's memorable words, payment God cannot twice demand, once from my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. So, in the New Covenant, Christian believers have received, through faith in Jesus Christ that unites us to Jesus Christ, a comprehensive freedom. And so we live out our lives, not, as it says here, out of slavish fear, but childlike love. This is the principal relationship of the Christian believer. We are not principally servants. We are foundationally sons, co-heirs together with Jesus Christ. We are sons who are servants. And that is the note out of which we live our Christian lives. But then the section concludes, you'll notice, by saying that believers in both dispensations enjoyed these freedoms, but we enjoy them in the New Covenant dispensation more richly. Indeed, the language here is we have a further enlarged freedom. We're no longer subject to the ceremonial or civil law that was such a cramping reality for Old Covenant believers. It was a hedge around them. We no longer have that hedge. Christ has fulfilled the ceremonial and the civil law for us. We enjoy greater boldness of access to the throne of grace. Paul puts it magnificently in Galatians 4, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sonship. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries, Abba, Father. The principal note of the child of God is that as we come before God, instinctively, we know we are coming to a Father to whom we have been reconciled through Jesus Christ. And because of that, the section concludes, we enjoy fuller communications of the free Spirit of God. There's much we could say there, but in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit has come out of the shadows, if you like. And he comes to glorify Christ, as we see in John 16. And he takes of Christ, and he makes them known to his people. We enjoy greater liberties, greater boldness of access. In one sense, our privileges are identical to Old Covenant believers, which is why Paul can use Abraham and David as the great exemplars of justification by faith. Would to God that we could rise in some way to the heights they rose to. But notwithstanding that, we enjoy fuller communications of the Spirit. He has come out of the shadows with the coming of the Saviour. And we enter into this glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, let's pray together. Father, for the boundless blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ, we thank you. Help us to live as those who have been set free from the guilt and the power of sin. Help us to live, Lord, as those who are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Help us to live, even in our darkest moments, as those who have boldness of access by the blood of Christ into your presence. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.